Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only, exclusions apply. ebaymotors.com.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
What's up, you guys? Sean Ross Sapp, Fightful.com, here with a name you know, formerly Bronson Reed. Now he's Jonah. I guess it was never really not Jonah, to be fair, but for a while he was Bronson Reed. You can see him at New Japan Nemesis Thursday, December 9th at the Vermont Hollywood. Man, New Japan Strong is hot right now, and you're a big part of that. Jonah, how you doing?
I'm doing really well. Thank you. Thanks for chatting with me. And Nemesis is going to be a very, you know, no pun intended, strong show.
Yeah, I really like a New Japan Strong. Like, the amount of wrestling that I take in a week is like heavy. And New Japan Strong is it's one of those shows I always watch. To me, and you're coming from NXT, the approach there is a lot like what I thought NXT's approach was going to be. You've got fresh talent, established talent. In between and like these fascinating matchups. How has it been being there, your short period of time that you've been around?
So far, so good. You know, when my time was up with NXT, the first place that I thought of was New Japan Pro Wrestling. Mm-hmm. So I wrestled for Noah for quite an extensive stay during 2013, 14, and 15. So Japan has a place in my heart when it comes to professional wrestling. And when the time, you know, is right, I will be back in Japan for New Japan Pro Wrestling. But right now, I'm doing the New Japan Strong shows, and it is great. It's a great mix of, you know, the last Strong that just aired had wrestling legend Josh Barnett on it.
Yeah.
Wrestling one of the Young Lions. Like, so it is a great mix. And getting to see those Young Lions, the way that they have progressed and the way that they're taught in the LA Dojo, is something that I always put over and let people know, like, that's how you do it.
So where are you based out of right now? I'm going to assume either Florida or the West Coast now, but
Florida still. So everyone that, you know, starts at the PC generally moves to Florida because that's where it is. So I'm still here in Orlando, and I don't think I can see myself moving anywhere else for the time being.
So I'm so fascinated by the process of your free agency, because as we've seen, you are a person whose services were in high demand. Now, I remember the week right before Bound for Glory, I had people in Impact saying, he's coming in. And they're like, wait, not so fast. No, he's not. Don't run with that. And it seemed like there was a little bit of back and forth there. But New Japan happened, and I had been told by people pretty explicitly within New Japan, we want him, we want to make sure we get him, and we want him to know that we want him. What was it like fielding all these offers, and did you feel like the bell of the ball there for a bit?
Yeah, I guess I did. The most frustrating thing for me was I just had to get stuff with immigration sorted. Mm-hmm. And once that was sorted, it was sort of, you know, the world is my oyster. And New Japan is a place that I always wanted to go to. And then the prospect of Impact as well, being able to do that because I have a non-exclusive deal. It's just something that's, you know, great for me as the wrestler that I am. I get to showcase my style on various shows, and it makes me very happy.
And I mean, we see the synergy between New Japan and Impact as well. So, I mean, did that factor into your decision at all?
Oh, 100%. Yeah, yeah. My loyalties are to New Japan first. Mm-hmm. And now with Impact on board, they're obviously up there as well. But I wanted to make sure that I could do both at the same time and not step on one of the other's foot, so to say.
Is there like an intermediary you've had to go with? I mean, I assume it's Rocky Romero. He does that with everybody. Rocky Romero is the forbidden door. Like, everybody just goes through him. Wrestling Society X is going to pop back up and Rocky Romero is going to be on the show. Like, that's just what he does. Like, is he the point of contact, like, between all that? Do you have to run anything by anyone else?
I mean, Rocky was the first one to actually, like, when it comes to when I was first released, and obviously a lot of people reached out because it was quite a shock. So I had a lot of people from WWE, from NXT, lots of people just reach out to me. But the first one that was actually reaching out to see if I was interested to work somewhere was Rocky. And that meant a big deal to me because, you know, I am one of those guys that doesn't want to ever stop wrestling. So this year with immigration and being released, I had to not wrestle for 3 months. And it was so strange to me, someone that wrestles every weekend. So yeah, he was the first one to reach out to me. And then from there, with him dealing with Impact and dealing with other companies, I always relay stuff through to Rocky as well.
Man, that guy needs to get a job. He needs something to do. He's got to be bored.
He's a busy man. Trust me.
I know. Oh man, every weekend he's popping up somewhere else. It's amazing, yeah. And in cartoons too. Even now, it's unreal. Yeah. Like,
I mean, I could be wrong, but I think he was the only one that I saw in 1 week do New Japan Strong, AEW, and then Impact.
He's done MLW too. Like, he's all over the place, man.
In 1 week though. Like,
yeah, he is everywhere. So you had mentioned how you pretty much had to wait those 90 days. From what we have seen, most of the NXT talent has 30-day non-competes. So a lot of people were like, oh, in a month he's going to pop up. He's going to be everywhere. So, I mean, your period of I don't want to say stagnation or anything, but rest and inactivity was longer than what you expected, beyond longer than what a lot of the audience expected too.
Yes. So, yeah, I did have the 30 days no compete, but then it literally took another 60 days to be able to have my immigration all filed. And I think a lot of people here didn't realize that this is what a lot of international people go through. Even to get to WWE, it was a long, long process, months on end, to be able to get to WWE. And then being released, it's the same thing.
And I had spoke with The Inspiration about this, Buddy Murphy about this. Murphy at the time was like, I don't know what's going to happen to me. Like, it's a scary thing.
Very scary thing. You know, I had all the faith in the world that obviously wrestling companies are going to want to use Jonah, but at the same time, there's just legalities and loops that you got to jump through. So that's always the scary thing.
I know it's got to be like an uncertain period when I've got like Buddy Murphy saying, I don't know if anybody will be interested in me. And I'm like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
I was talking to Alexander Wolf after he had got released, and he's like, I've got like this amount of time and I'm hitting the bricks and going back to Germany. Like, it's a very unique and unfortunate situation for a lot of people. But as we had mentioned, you signed with Impact, you signed with in New Japan. How far into your free agency were they reaching out, even respectively? Like, we want to bring you in and we want you to know that we want to bring you in.
I think I first had, like I said, I think Rocky was the first person to contact me, and that would have been like just after I was released, maybe a few days. Then I want to say I was in talks with Impact maybe a couple of weeks after that, with D'Lo Brown. D'Lo Brown is who I had first touched base with. He was the one that contacted me, and I was in contact elsewhere as well, but some things don't work out, and these are the places that I am.
And When the Bound for Glory thing didn't happen, I think a lot of people maybe wrongly assumed like, well, maybe he's just not going there. You did pop up there, so now you're going everywhere. You're on New Japan Strong, and I can't wait to talk about Nemesis here in a minute. But like, were you discouraged at all? Because Bound for Glory is their biggest show, and obviously they were trying to bring in an awful lot of people, and a lot of them didn't pan out. But what was like your mindset when that sort of wasn't able to happen?
Again, it was all due to immigration, legalities, stuff like that. So for me, I understood that Bound for Glory is one of their bigger shows. You had the Inspiration debuting and stuff like that. And there's so much happening on that one show that it wasn't at all a detriment to me to debut at Turning Point. I think it was actually quite fitting that I debuted at a show called Turning Point.
Yeah.
And I did what I did. I attacked Josh and I left a complete statement. I think it was actually a perfect piece of business.
Well, you and David Finley have been making statements against each other. He brought up your release in a promo. You brought
He started it.
He did. He did start it. He said that he was going to basically beat you up so bad you were going to get fired again. You referenced his father in a promo. Like, having the freedom to kind of say what you want, and I'm not like implying that NXT is shackled or anything like that, but you have a lot more freedom to kind of go your own route. Like, in doing that, it's been a couple years since you probably had that freedom. How are you adjusting to that? Is there any time that you look and you go, is that a line I want to cross? Is this something I want to broach?
Yes, for sure. Obviously, having a lot more freedom is something that I've always wanted. And again, I wasn't shackled in NXT. You do have someone that's writing something for you, but I was one of those guys that I can't just say what's written on the page if it doesn't feel right to me. I was lucky enough to be pretty close with Hunter where I could actually speak to him and say these things and we could work out, you know, a happy medium. But now, like, a lot of places put their faith in me and go, well, I'm not just the 350-pound big man. I can speak.
Yeah.
So if I get given that opportunity to speak, I try to always come up with something creative and something that people remember. So it's not so much about pushing boundaries, but if you can say something that is a little dig that people will remember, that's what I will do.
Have you ever had somebody like reach out to you privately and be like, that was too far, that was too much?
Not yet, but I'm welcome for them to do it.
'Cause, I mean, we've always heard those Sean and Brett stories where they cleared it with each other beforehand. And then afterhand, they're like, no. That's not okay. That's not
sunny days.
Yeah, indeed. Indeed. I mean, I assume also you'll probably be hitting the convention circuit pretty soon, which has exploded. I was just at WrestleCade. It wasn't tied to an AEW show, a WWE show, anything. There were thousands of people there. I mean, now you're going to have an opportunity to interact with people in person like more than ever before.
Yeah, it's actually been good. You know, I've only just been on the road for these past few weeks in New Japan and Impact. And now I did my first independent show in the first time in over 3 years. And it's been great to actually speak to the fans again. Obviously, the way that NXT television was working is we're in the same place every week. And it's a lot of the same fans that you see. Mm-hmm. And that's great. They're a loyal fan base. But it's good to see people from other states and stuff and go, oh, yeah, they are watching. They do know who I am and all these things.
You mentioned NXT. Have you watched any of NXT 2.0 since you've left?
I watch bits and pieces. I try to support like my friends like Duke Hudson.
Sure.
Indy Hartwell, Persia Parada, Grayson, like all the Australians. I always support those guys. And I still have other friends, obviously, that I made there that I always watch. But I don't particularly enjoy it.
Sure. I was going to ask you because it's interesting because many of the people that you mentioned became featured players as a result of the change of NXT 2.0. But yes. I'm interested in your thoughts on the presentation overall as how it is. It does seem very character oriented to some degrees. And then others, it's like you see the traditional turned up to 10 type of personalities. But what are some things maybe you do or don't like about it?
I mean, I understand what they're trying to do. And the direction they're going in. I think the thing I like least about it is Hunter had such a vision for what NXT was. And that whole vision is just gone now, especially after last night with what seems to be, I don't know, I'm not there at the moment, but it seems to be the end of Black and Gold. Like that's it. It's just disheartening because the guys that were there for that era was so much trying to make it that third brand and make it something different. But not just that. When I was there wrestling, I'm a huge pro wrestling fan. And I love WWE. I love what they do. But I saw Raw and SmackDown as their entertainment shows. And I saw NXT as the pro wrestling show. And now I feel like it's just another entertainment show.
That makes sense. And
yeah,
I mean, obviously and very unfortunately, Triple H has been out of the picture for a little while. We wish him the best there. Have you had the opportunity to speak with him at all? I know that he was very private for a while.
Yeah, no, I haven't been able to yet. Hopefully I'll get to. I hope, yeah, you know, that he's doing well. I've been able to, obviously, I spoke with Sean right after I got released. And yeah, I hope that I can speak to Hunter at some point.
What was your conversation with Sean like? Because there are some people, like Alex Zane told me that he reached out to William Regal immediately, and William Regal was blindsided by it. He had no idea.
Yeah.
What was your conversation with Sean like?
Well, I had a great relationship with Sean. I was in his, you know, there was classes at the Performance Center. I was in his class for quite a long time. And he was always in my corner. And then when that happened, he actually reached out to me and just, he was in shock. And he just basically told me to go out there and do what I do and make them regret the decision they made. So I'm happy to do that, but I'm someone that's not focusing on the fact that I'm not in WWE anymore. Sure. I'm focusing on the fact that I am in New Japan. I am doing things with Impact, and I'm going to do great things there. And that's where my focus all is.
And right before you left, you had some unique opportunities to work in front of an actual crowd for the first time in a couple of years. You did main event and a dark match. When that happens, a lot of people before that assume person's getting called up. But traditionally, like back in the days when I started to really pay attention to dark matches, you would see Brock Lesnar or John Cena or Russ and Charlie Haas or...
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Yes.
Like any number of people, Ron Waterman, like all these people.
Yeah, I remember Ron Waterman.
Like, there were all those people that did them. What was it like getting the call to do those? Because like Raquel has told me, she found out like a couple days before and they were like, hey, we need you up here. Want to take a look at how this goes?
Yeah, I mean, mine was, again, like that, just randomly. I think it was the day before SmackDown. I get told, hey, we need you at SmackDown. And I go, okay, cool. What am I doing? And they're like, we're not too sure. And then I find out it's a dark match a day of, and that's fine. I'm happy to do that. I had my first dark match on the SmackDown with Bobby Roode. And that same day I had a 15-minute interview with Vince McMahon himself.
Interesting.
Yeah, very interesting stuff. And then you never know what's going to come of it. You don't know. But then literally... main event, so the Monday, the Raw, they ring me again. They go, we want to see you again. So I had the match with Drew Gulak that was for main event. I spoke with Vince after the match. He liked it. It seemed all good. And then a few weeks later, I was released. So
I assume that the first conversation with Vince was a positive one because...
Very,
like, And I mean... With bigger fellas, you know, everybody imagines it's like that gif of Vince where he's like, ah, like that.
Yeah.
You know the gif where he's like excited. He loves
I know the one.
He loves the larger than life wrestlers. He loves them. Like, what do you remember what was communicated like between you guys within that first meeting?
I know we spoke about wrestling a lot. You know, I'm, again, such a fan of professional wrestling that I spoke about Australian wrestling history, and it was so great that he knew so much about Australian wrestling as well. Obviously,
yeah,
he should. He's Vince McMahon. He knows everything. but it's still like gobsmacked me a little bit because I mentioned like a venue that I wrestled back home and he knew it.
Mm-hmm.
Like he knew it straight away. He's like, oh yeah, I remember that, blah, blah, blah. And like, you don't expect someone like that to remember all the little towns, venues and stuff like that. But I guess this is why he is who he is. But it was very, very positive meeting. We spoke about wrestling. He spoke about his vision for the future. And that was pretty much it. At the same time, oddly enough, it must just be he's obviously, I don't want to use the word stooges, but I guess stooges. He had Bruce Pritchard and John Laurinaitis in the room, sure. right behind me, awkwardly. Felt like, have you ever seen Step Brothers?
Of course I have. Yeah,
of course. Most people have seen Step Brothers, where he goes in for the job interview and then you see the person, you know. They'll do that. That's what I felt like Bruce and Johnny were doing behind me every time I said something. They were sort of...
Oh, amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Well, now New Japan and Impact and a lot of exciting stuff going on there. Again, yes. New Japan Nemesis Thursday, December 9th. Who are some of the people, like, when you were contacted by New Japan, just stateside? Like, before we even get into the Japan aspect of it, were you like, man, I can't wait to work them?
Finlay was definitely one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I had been able to work with his dad in a... coaching, producing sort of aspect. So as soon as I saw that I could possibly work with Finlay and actually wrestle, I was like, this is going to be great. I know how his dad works and I know how he works. So I'm all for that sort of style of wrestling. Juice is one of them.
He's great.
He's great. I mean, I'm not sure what you consider stateside, but obviously Jay White has been here.
He's here.
He's been here for the last year or so. So he's someone I'd like to get in there with. But I look at the roster and I am intrigued by the younger guys coming up as well, like Alex Coughlin and some of those younger lions that I could get in the ring with as well.
And one of the beauties of how New Japan adjusted to the pandemic is they already had expansion plans for the U.S. Like that has been a plan since roughly around the time AEW formed. Because I remember they came out with their New Japan America Twitter, and you could see when it was created.
Yes.
And it was created like a year before they announced it, and we're like, okay, we see that you have plans here. But what the pandemic did, it almost effectively forced them into a brand split, and they really made the most of it. Like, it was almost a completely unique roster and all that. How much of that were you taking in? When did New Japan Strong specifically hit your radar? Like, man, this is somewhere I want to go eventually. If you had the chance, because obviously you couldn't have foreseen what happened with WWE. No.
Yeah, I've always been someone to keep track of what's happening in the wrestling world. Mm-hmm. So even though I was in WWE, I never foresaw that I was going to be released when I was. I thought I'd be there a few more years at least. But I was watching Strong as soon as it was coming up because New Japan World is so easy to access and you can watch everything on there. And obviously they release stuff on YouTube as well. So I was watching along with that, same as Impact, same as AEW. I always keep track of what's happening in the wrestling world.
We spoke about promos earlier. Did you see Fred Rosser's promo on Tom Lawler?
No, I haven't seen that yet. No. I mean, I've seen them wrestle,
buddy. And I got to talk to Fred about it last week. He said he was going to drag Tom Lawler into his yard in front of his family and murder him. Fred, he was mad.
A big beef going, you know. I understand what he's saying, but yeah, he might cross that line a little bit.
That's what I mentioned earlier. And you could see Rocky in the background like, oh, we're going to edit that. Like you just know it. But Fred looked at me dead eye on camera and he is like, I meant everything I said. I have no regrets. I loved it.
Amazing. Amazing.
Oh man. So I want to throw in some sort of random questions because I'm always intrigued by this stuff. I'd imagine you've been hit hard by an awful lot of people throughout your career.
Very much so, yeah.
Who hit you the hardest?
I'll give you two people.
Okay.
Because they're both pretty much up there in different aspects. Actually, maybe I can give you three. Now that I think about how hard I've been hit, probably the worst, probably when it comes to like being really hit and hurt, Kenta.
Okay.
100% Kenta when I was there in Noah. His go to sleep made me go to sleep.
Amazing.
Not
amazing. I feel terrible for you. It's just
it's what it is.
It is as advertised, I guess.
Yeah, Kenta, Kensuke, obviously.
Okay.
You know, wrestling legend. When I got to work with him, it may be the hardest clothesline I've ever taken in my life. And then obviously, and I think a lot of people would know this, Walter. His chops
are
like no one else's. He's got the biggest and loudest chop in professional wrestling. And it's an experience when you feel that chop.
Now, who do you think you've hit the hardest?
I mean, all those guys I hit back just as hard. So I don't know. There's been instances where I watch something back and I cringe myself where I go, oh, I didn't realize I hit them that hard. But I've had people tell me before that the next day after wrestling me, it felt like they got hit by a truck. And I go, well, you're in there with the top dog.
Yeah. So, it's like your response is, great. Sounds good. Now, I'm sure you've seen those YouTube clips that's like Enzo Amore shoots hard on Simon Gotch or something like that. I like to do the opposite. I like to ask people to shoot softly and say nice things about the people that they've worked with or maybe people they know. And you know what? I'll focus on the Australian scene. So I hope I don't ask you to say anything nice about people you have beef with.
Beef. Okay. We'll see who you ask.
Yes. I'll start with someone who just profiled the Australian scene for Fightful Magazine. And I have trouble pronouncing her name. Shaza McKenzie.
Oh, okay. To shoot softly, she's someone that is very, she's always trying hard to get out there and be seen.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's about the only nice thing there is to say about Shaza. So we'll leave it there. I love that girl. She's wonderful. You mentioned the inspiration. Just talked to them at WrestleCade. They're working Impact. You're working Impact.
Yeah. I'm a big fan of Inspiration. Both Jess and Cass are lovely people, but my soft shoot on them, they may be the funniest girls in the business. Oh, they are so funny to be around.
It so quick-witted. Like,
yes, very, very quick-witted.
Like there's so many things they say that you watch it back a couple times and it gets even funnier because they're right there. Like I loved, obviously, because I'm in the wrestling media game, the did you go to journalism for that? Cracked me up. Because,
perfect line.
And like Kathy Kelly couldn't hold it together. Cassie couldn't hold it together. And I love that WWE saw that and they're like, that's what we're running. We're keeping that. We're putting that on there. Another one, Rhea Ripley has found incredible success.
Yeah. My soft shoot on Rhea Ripley is she was a big fan of mine growing up. She used to come to the local shows and watch me and Duke Hudson. And then years later, when she was getting into the wrestling business, I remember saying, oh, she's going to be a millionaire. She's going to do great things. Like you could just see it from when she was a young age. And she is still only 25 years old.
Yeah. We've got the former Brendan Vink, who you just mentioned, Duke Hudson.
My soft shoot on Duke Hudson is that he's the guy that I came up in the business with. We started at the same time, same dojo in little old Adelaide in I started 2007. He started 2008. So I've known him for a very long time.
I had mentioned Buddy Murphy earlier. Now goes by Buddy Matthews. He's also killing it right now.
Yeah, I think Buddy is underrated. His in-ring work is so great, and also he looks like an action figure.
He does.
Yeah,
he
I went to the gym with him, and I'm one of those guys. Like when I go to the gym, people usually. Shock because I lift a lot of heavy weights.
Yeah.
But him, it's the different thing. I see people looking at him because his arms are maybe the size of watermelons, and he looks like an action figure walking around.
He does. He really does. Now, one of the only Australian wrestlers that so many Americans knew for a long time, Nathan Jones. Have you ever met him?
No, I had never met Nathan Jones, but I would actually love to meet Nathan Jones because I was a fan of when he was in WWE, his short little run, but I was also a fan when he got into movies. You know, he's in Mad Max, and I love those movies, and he's in some kung fu movies that I like as well. So hopefully
I think he was in the new Mortal Kombat movie, maybe. I think he did like an appearance in that. I remember he did one, like I think a little bit in The Condemned. Like,
yep.
There are a lot of wrestlers like that transition and they do better in movies than people expect. Like Kurgan from the Attitude Era, killing it in movies.
He is, yeah. I mean, it pays off that those two are like really gigantic freaks, really.
They are. So As we wrap up, another WWE-related question that I meant to ask, the 2K game has been pushed back all kinds of times. Did you do any work for that? Like, I asked Drew McIntyre, and he's like, yeah, it feels like I've been working on it forever, doing scans and voiceovers and stuff like that.
I did the scans, all the different, like, facial feature scans. Then I came in to do a separate scanning, which was all my tattoos, stuff like that. And then I was sent videos from the mocap people of them doing all my maneuvers, making sure that they were right and stuff. So, I mean, I was all ready to be in there, but I don't think that's happening now.
I mean, I know the 2K people are like, seriously, every time this happens.
Yeah.
And Murphy was like, keep me in the game. Give me that payday. I don't care.
Hey, yeah, I would love to be in the game. And the thing is, I think if they were smart, that would appeal to a lot of the fans as well, that they go, oh, WWE kept these people in the game, or if we're unlockable characters, however you want to do it. Or nowadays, it's you pay for them. it's something that you should do.
I think that'd be a good approach. Like, WWE could reach out to some free agents and be like, hey, do you want in the game? Like, expand it beyond that. Because I get the feeling, like, when I look at AEW and they're accruing all these legends, like, you got Jake Roberts and Arn Anderson, like, they're probably going to be in their video game.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I think so. But I think, you know, they own the name Bronson Reed, so it's up to them.
Yeah, so, I mean, that's the thing, like, we've seen, obviously, they're not going to do like a new Diesel, new Razor thing. I think they learned their lesson there.
Yes.
But I mean, like, realistically, based on what you know, could they just like throw you into that game in like a year's time, or would you have to sign off on that?
I think it would just be more so they would have to pay me royalties.
Sure.
Yeah, I don't think I would have to sign off on anything because I've already done the scans, everything like that. It'd just be more so if they would want to pay me any money.
Yeah, understandable. Well, guys, you can check out Jonah, New Japan Nemesis, December 9th. I could talk to you about wrestling all day. This is great. I love learning from those who know so much about wrestling, so I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it.
But check it out, guys. New Japan Strong is killing it right now. He's also appearing on Impact Wrestling, but New Japan Nemesis on December 9th. Let the people know where else they can find you and follow you.
Yeah, you can follow me at Jonah Is Here on Instagram and Twitter. That's the main places to find out what's going on with me. And you can see everything from videos I share to new merchandise that you can get. And you'll see me at New Japan Strong and, of course, at Impact Wrestling as well.
Jonah, thank you so much for the time.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Until next time, guys, we're out.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.